Well, as we turn our attentions this evening to this topic of the Lord's Day, I think in a sense I'm preaching to the choir. At least I hope I'm preaching to the choir. And perhaps what I give you today is nothing much new. But it is important for us to take up this topic at this time. The Sabbath day is a day of contention in the world that we live in. It's a contention between Christians and the world. As we speak to people in the world, we sense that real difference between us. We long to keep the Sabbath day holy, and we know what that means. And yet, in the world, they see the Sabbath day as a day for their own pursuits. They're quite happy that since the days of the Reformation, where we have a concept of the Sabbath day, they're quite happy to have that as a holiday. They're quite happy to have the weekend to be free from work. That's not the part that bothers them, but it's that they want to do their own things. How many people want to just spend the day on their own pursuits, whether it's a party in the evening, whether it's watching TV through the day, or going to leisure activities? The Sabbath day is a day of contention between those that would keep it holy unto God and those that want to spend it in the way they want to spend it. But sadly, the Sabbath day is also a day of contention between Christians and Christians in the church. That's a very sad thing, that we can't agree together on this very basic principle. How many Christians do you know that want to push the Sabbath day to one aside, as if to say that was for the Jews and not for true Christians? We're free from that. We're not under law. We're under grace, so they might say. And it is very sad that there are Christians that, if convenience takes them elsewhere, they may just not bother going to church on a particular Lord's Day. Or they may go to the morning service and tick the box, and the rest of the day belongs to them. Or if they're slightly more pious, they might go to the morning service and the evening service. But what they do in between is up to them. It is sad that this day that the Lord has said to remember and to keep holy, that not even Christians can agree on how to do that. And so, because of all these things, because of the contention that arises in the church and out with the church, we need to hold on to this doctrine of the Sabbath day. In many ways, it looks like we've lost the battle. If you were to look at the nation as a whole, you would say, it looks very much that way. The battle for the Sabbath day is lost. But I don't think we should be so pessimistic. I think we should maintain the battle for God's holy day. And remember that when we stand on the Lord's side, we're on the winning side of every argument. So let's see, just as a means of a refresher for ourselves, and hopefully also so that we can speak to other people and encourage them to keep God's day holy. Let's see three reasons why the Sabbath day is an important day for us. The first one is fairly obvious. It's commanded. The Sabbath day is commanded. We read from Exodus 20, remember the Sabbath day. It's found in those Ten Commandments. It's not an option for us. It's not something that you can take or leave. It's a command. Keep the Sabbath day holy. The Lord wrote it, as we read, with his own hand on tablets of stone. And that signifies for us it's perpetual. Even as he said there, this is a perpetual covenant between me and you. We have that phrase, it's written in stone. And we know that that's an important, that if something's written in stone, you can't change it. It's solid. The sad thing, of course, is that many Christians despise the Ten Commandments. Now, they wouldn't necessarily admit to doing that, but they do push them off to the side as if they're not important. Or they may take a portion of the Ten Commandments and push them to one side. Think of in terms of civil government. They would say the government is responsible for the second table of the law. They're responsible for the last six. But the government shouldn't tell us to keep the Sabbath day holy. The government shouldn't tell us about worship and all those four commandments at the start. That's not their place. And you see, what they do is they divide the Ten Commandments into the first four, irrelevant for civil government, and the last six. But God doesn't give us that option. He gives us these Ten Commandments, and they're abiding. Another way that people try to separate the Ten Commandments is with regards to the Second Commandment. They make the First Commandment and the Second Commandment identical. They're exactly the same. As long as you worship God and no other God, you've satisfied that commandment. But what they don't realize is that the First Commandment is about who we worship. The Second Commandment is about how we worship. I see many Christians today say, it's not important how we worship God. The important thing is that we worship Him. And you see, what they've done is they've made 9 commandments rather than 10. But then, this other way that they reduce the commandments is by removing the 4th. Many Christians just want to put this to one side as if we can forget about it. That's for Old Testament Israel. That's part of a ceremonial law. It's not part for me. But it is a command that God has given. Remember the Sabbath day. And we shouldn't remove this commandment from the 10. It was enforced in the Old Testament, as we read, upon pain of death. It was one of the capital crimes. And that adds a certain seriousness to this commandment. You know the other capital crimes are pretty major, major crimes. There are things that you would look, if you heard of them in your news today, you'd say, that's a horrible thing to hear in our community. Things like murder and rape. You would say, those things are definitely wrong, and they deserve a severe punishment. But not many people would put the Sabbath day, breaking the Sabbath day, into that category. And yet God, in His wisdom, gave a list of capital crimes for Old Testament Israel. And here's the list. Murder, kidnap, rape, adultery, incest, homosexuality, human sacrifice, false prophecy, blasphemy, necromancy, and breaking the Sabbath day. The Lord, in His wisdom, put the Sabbath day amongst these other sins that most people in the church would say those are fairly serious sins. Why does He do that? Well, it's to show us this commandment is important and not one to ignore. Now, of course, every sin warrants death. The wages of sin is death. And we can be condemned to hell because of our sin of breaking the Sabbath day. And yet we must look to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we thought on Sabbath past, He bore our sins in His body on the tree. And so for Christians, we have that merciful thing that the Lord Jesus Christ was punished for our Sabbath breaking. You think about the number of times that you have neglected the Sabbath day. The number of Sabbaths you've spent that you've wasted a part of it, or that you've not kept it as you should. The encouraging thing for us is that we can be forgiven of all those things. The Lord Jesus Christ is well able to take away that sin and that punishment from us. But that doesn't remove the commandment. Just because we're forgiven in Christ, it doesn't remove the commandment. It's the same as any other sin. Just because we're forgiven in Christ doesn't mean we can go out and commit adultery or murder or that we can lie. No, not at all. We should not sin so that grace may abound. And so too with the Sabbath day. We may be forgiven in Christ, but we still must keep it holy unto the Lord. We thought a few weeks ago about that attribute of God's holiness. And it's quite an overwhelming attribute when you think of just how holy God is. Well, He says, keep this day holy. Let that sink in for a moment. Keep the day holy as God Himself is holy. And then we see just how much of a high standard the Lord holds for His own day. We should keep the Sabbath day. It's commanded for us. But then the second thing I want us to see, why the Sabbath day is important, is because God has a gracious purpose in the Sabbath day. You see, He could have just arbitrarily commanded us to keep the day holy and left it at that. But he doesn't. God in his wisdom gives us reasons to keep the Sabbath day holy. You know the way a child, you tell them to do something and they say to you, why? Why should I do that? And sometimes you just say to the child, because I said so. But there are other times when you know it will help the child if you can teach them why it's important. Here's why I want you to do it. Here are some reasons. And that's a kindness to the child. Well, the Lord shows us his kindness. He gives us the reasons to keep the Sabbath day holy. The first one is because it's a day of rest. What one of you, after a busy week of work, or a busy week of doing various things, don't you delight in coming to the Sabbath day and having rest? Having rest for your bodies, having rest even for your minds. Maybe you've spent a week thinking about certain things, being anxious about certain things, and you come to this one day and your mind can be at ease. It's a beautiful thing. Rest. The Lord himself created in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. Not because he needed to rest. The Lord is omnipotent. He doesn't need to rest. He's not weak like humans. He rested to give us an example that we also would rest. You know, since the fall, since that curse has come into the world, thorns, weeds grow in the land. And no longer was the work of Adam and Eve tending the garden. Was it pleasurable? Was it easy? No, it became difficult. Instead of work, it was toil and hardship. You know that yourselves. If you've got work around the house, sometimes it's just plain exhausting. It's strenuous, and you're exhausted at the end of it. Well, God has given you one day to rest. It's a merciful thing. As we read in Leviticus 25, we've got the example of the land needing rest. It had a Sabbath year. 6 years you tended to your vineyard. 6 years you planted and reaped. But on the seventh, the land had rest. Because the land, the plants draw out the nutrients, and the land just gets exhausted from it. But if it has 1 year of rest, it can be replenished. And you see, the land, if it needs rest, how much more us? And the Lord has been merciful not to make you work 6 years and then give you a seventh completely free. He's given you 6 days and then one of rest. As Jesus himself said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now, that's an important thing. The Sabbath is not some institution that lords it over us. The Sabbath is not an institution to beat us over the head into submission. No, the Sabbath has been made for us. It's been made to give us rest. It's been made so that we can be replenished and refreshed. It's the Lord's mercy in giving us this one day. But it's not merely a day for rest. It's also a day for worship. And so the Sabbath isn't just about rest. It's also a reminder of certain things. It's a reminder, first of all, to set our hearts back on God. We have 6 days of work. You get engrossed in your work. You're busy. But then you turn back one day, devoted entirely to God. You see, how often do we find ourselves in our busy lives that we don't have as much time to contemplate God as we would like? Yes, we have our worship. Yes, we read our Bibles and so on. But we don't have as much time as we would like. And God gives us one whole day a week to set our hearts back upon the work of the gospel. 6 days and then one. But it's not just a reminder of that. It's also a reminder of our salvation itself. In Exodus 20, when God gives the Ten Commandments, the reason he gives is because he created in 6 days but rested on the seventh. But in Deuteronomy chapter 5, when Moses gives the commandments again, that's not the same reason why the Sabbath day is to be kept holy. Rather, he says, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. You see, for Israelites, every Sabbath day that came along was a reminder of the Lord delivering them from Egypt. Yes, they had the Passover for that once a year. But more than that, every Sabbath day, they were to think back to the huge picture of their own personal salvation. And each individual Israelite would think, just as God saved Israel then from Egypt, so God can save me today. He is my Savior. He is my God, the rock of my salvation. For Christians, there's a new significance as it's been changed from the Sabbath day to the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath, because we remember back to the resurrection of Christ himself from the dead. And because Christ lives, therefore we live. We've been raised together with him. So the Sabbath day is one of reminders. It's one of looking backwards at creation, at our salvation, at the resurrection. But it's not merely for us to look backwards. It's also for us to look forwards. To look forward to heaven itself. We talked about this at the fellowship. How often do you think about heaven? And one of the things, really, is that every week we should think about heaven. The Sabbath day has been given to you, especially, to think of this wonderful place that we shall go after death. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "There remains a rest for the people of God." The interesting thing about that word rest, in Greek, it's sabbatismos. Now, you hear the word, it sounds like Sabbath. Now, it's a strange word. It only appears here, in this place in Hebrews 4. It doesn't mean Sabbath, and it doesn't quite mean rest. I think it means the two together. A Sabbath rest. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. It's not any old rest. It's a Sabbath rest. And you see, each week, as we keep the Sabbath day, after a week of being tired from our work, and we come and we're refreshed on the Sabbath day, what we're saying to ourselves, there remains a Sabbath rest. There's going to be a glorious rest for us in heaven. And if you're feeling tired at this moment in time, that's a glorious thing to think of. That there remains a Sabbath rest for us in heaven. And of course, there are other glories relating to heaven itself. So each week, we should look back at creation. We should look at our salvation. We should look at Christ's resurrection. But we should also look forward into heaven itself. You see, God, in his grace, has given us a day of reminders. So, we've seen that the Sabbath day is commanded. We've seen that the Sabbath has gracious purposes for us. Rest and these holy reminders. But then thirdly, I want us to see that the Sabbath brings to us either real blessing or else real curse. It's our make or break, really. The Sabbath day is that important. It's neglected to our own peril. First of all, as individuals, I would like you to turn with me to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. And look at verse 13 and 14 with me. "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken." And as you see there in verse 16, what it's saying to us is that if we keep the Sabbath day, we will get certain blessings. See, we can use the Sabbath day for our own pleasures. We can speak about the things we want to speak about. We can honor ourselves on the Sabbath day. well, then you're not going to enjoy these privileges. The other side is we can call the holy day of the Lord honorable. We can deprive ourselves of the things that we count as pleasurable and instead find delight in the Sabbath itself and treasure the day of the Lord itself. And then you receive the blessings of verse 14. It's as simple as that. You either delight in God's day or you delight in your own things in that day. But if you delight in your own things, you're not going to get these privileges. And what are the privileges? Well, verse 14. First of all, delight in the Lord. Joy in the Lord himself. You know, joy. How many Christians seem to have no joy? It seems to be elusive. It seems like the church at large is depressed and downcast. And yet we have a privilege here that comes through the Sabbath day. It's that of delight itself. Secondly, riding on the high hills of the earth. What does that mean? Well, that means victory. Spiritual victory. It's a picture. As you ride over high hills, you're going up and over them. You've got the victory of the Lord as you defeat sin, as you see yourself more and more victorious over the struggles that you have in your own life. Why do we see today in the church so many people failing in their struggles of sin and falling to their temptations? Is a part of it because we're failing to keep the Sabbath day. We're not experiencing the victory that the Lord intends to give us. And then the third privilege, it's being fed with the heritage of the Lord, the heritage of Jacob. This is the covenant blessing of nourishment, that the Lord gives us food, that as we keep the Sabbath day holy, the Lord feeds us through that and strengthens us. Friends, I wonder, why are there so many weak Christians today? Is a part of it, not the whole thing, but is a big part of it, because of our lack of keeping the Sabbath day holy. Surely we have to ask these questions. We're told that there are these privileges, and yet, sadly, we don't see many of them. The Sabbath day, as the Puritans called it, was a market day for the soul. You know, if you went to the market and you would stock up on all your food, you'd put it all into your basket, as much as you needed for the next week ahead. Well, the purpose of the Sabbath day is to do the same thing for your soul. You stock up all the necessary things for your soul for the week ahead. As you go through the 6 days, it's the Sabbath day past that's to sustain you right through. But maybe it's a case that many Christians don't stock up enough, and they reach Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and they don't have enough to take them through to the next Lord's Day. Are we weak because of our view of the Sabbath day? In Exodus 31 that we read earlier, the Lord says that the Sabbath is a sign between me and you. That's something quite intimate there. The Lord is saying that between him, the God who made heaven and earth, and us, people, there's this sign, the Sabbath day. And it's we saw the signs of the Lord's table on Sabbath past. Signs show us certain things. Signs remind us of particular truths. And God says, this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Do you ever think, will the Lord ever change me? Will the Lord ever help me defeat sin? Will the Lord ever make me more and more like my blessed Savior Christ? Well, yes. He who began a good work in you will carry it forward to completion. And what's the sign that shows that to you? It's the Sabbath day. A perpetual ordinance that God intends you to be separate from the world all around you. He's given us these Sabbath days for our own sanctification. And perhaps you learned the little rhyme as a child. A Sabbath well spent brings a week of content and strength for the toils of the morrow. But a Sabbath profaned, whate'er may be gained, is a certain forerunner of sorrow. There's a lot of truth in that little children's rhyme. The Sabbath well spent does bring us contentment. It does bring us joy. It does help us through the week. But you see, if you profane the day, no matter what you gain from it, it's going to lead to sorrow. How many people, how many Christians are put into this place where they think, if I don't work on the Sabbath day, I'm going to lose my job, or I'm going to lose money, or I won't get all this work finished that needs to be done. And so they give themselves over to the work on the Sabbath day. They compromise on that principle. Now, whatever you gain, it will only lead to sorrow. You see, the Lord has promised blessings on the Sabbath day. It's a day of blessing itself. And so we must take that seriously. Thomas Brooks, the Puritan, said, "There are no Christians in all the world comparable to those for the power of godliness, the heights of grace, holiness, and communion of God, who are more strict, serious, studious, and conscientious in sanctifying the Lord's day." What he's saying there is, there's no Christian, that's reached these heights of grace that hasn't done it through the keeping of the Sabbath day. The stricter, the more conscientious, the more profitable you make your Sabbath days here on earth, the stronger you'll be, the more you'll commune with the Lord, the more you're abiding in Christ, and therefore you'll see the blessings. The Sabbath is not to be neglected, otherwise we lose ourselves. But then, just to see, related to that, it's not just for individuals, it's also for nations. The Sabbath day is the make or break for individuals, but it's also the make or break for a nation. A nation that despises the Sabbath day is on a crash course for destruction. People, politicians brought in Sunday trading laws. And what is one of the things they said that we would achieve through these? Was it not greater prosperity? We need to trade on the Sabbath day so that we can be more prosperous, so that our economy can grow. And does it work? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Even non-Christians, scientists have observed people who have different lengths of working weeks. And it's the 6 days on one that's the effective one. Why? Because the Lord in his wisdom has told us to do that. See, the Sabbath is an important thing, not just for us, but also for the nation. Think about the nation of Israel. They had to keep the Sabbath day each week, but they also had to keep a Sabbath year. And the problem with the Sabbath year, as they saw it, was that we have a whole year without having planted and sown. How will we have enough food in the seventh year? How will we survive? The Lord says to them, "I'll give you plenty. I'll give you far more than you need in the sixth year. And I'll give you plenty in the eighth year." And what you'll find is you didn't need to work in that seventh year. And friends, I think there's a lesson for us, because we don't have to keep the seventh year any longer. That was part of the ceremonial law. But if the Lord was able to prosper a whole nation with a whole year of no planting and sowing, surely the Lord can prosper our nation if we took a Sabbath day rest. It's a very simple fact, and yet it's true. It's a day of blessing, not a day of cursing. I think it was in the 19th century that someone said, "If Scotland loses her Sabbaths, she will lose along with them her religion and her God." So if I'm right that was the 19th century, if Scotland loses her Sabbaths, along with them she will lose her religion and her God. Well, look at where we are today. We've lost our Sabbaths. We've lost our religion. We've lost our God. It's as simple as that. We sit as a nation under the curse and judgment of God. You have to wonder, if we had kept on the Sabbath day, if we had honor that day as a nation, would we be experiencing these abominable things that we see on our TV screens these days? You turn on the news and you're hearing of all these gross violations of God's law. If we had merely kept the Sabbath day, do you not think these things wouldn't have come around? I think that's there's a deal of truth in that. So, the Sabbath day is to be kept. It's commanded for us. It's a day when the Lord shows us his gracious purposes for us. It's a day that's the make or break for us. I hope I haven't said much new to you. I hope these are things that you agree and believe. But let's just say a few things for application's sake. What can we do having heard these things? Well, I hope it's just a refresher. But maybe the best thing to do is to think about ourselves individually. Is there something that we can do to make the Sabbath day more profitable for our own souls? It's very easy for us to have a list of do's and don'ts for the Sabbath day. It's very easy for us to say, well, I don't watch TV, I don't travel, I don't go shopping, and so I'm doing pretty well. And those things are important. It's important that we don't do particular things on the Sabbath day. But there's a huge amount of potential, a huge amount of blessing for us in trying to profit from the day. And there's a slight difference there. You see, you're going into it with the intention of gaining something each Lord's Day. To gain personally in your own worship. To gain personally in your own reading. To gain personally as you come to church, as you hear the word, as you sing the psalms. Aim to get something that will profit your soul for the week ahead. And if you see the blessing for yourself, then surely you'll want to share that blessing with others. And that's the second part of our application. How can we help others keep the Sabbath day holy? Well, you know the people that you come into contact with. Some of them are Christians and some of them aren't. Well, surely with the Christians, we can try to encourage one another to keep the Sabbath day holy. Very simply, we can talk to brothers and sisters from other churches. How was your Sabbath day? How did you benefit from it? What things did you learn? How was the Lord good to you? Those sorts of things are good for us to do. And it helps and encourages others. Or non-Christians. Surely we can speak in such a way as to show that the Sabbath day has been a blessing to our own souls. They may think we're odd. They may think it's antiquated to keep this one day special. But at least we can show them that we're happy as we do it, and that we've been blessed through it. They may think we're deluded, but at least we're happy in it. Can we grasp the full potential of the day? And can we seek in some sense to spread that on to others? You see, it's a contentious day. But the Lord has us to do our part in this battle. We may have a small part, but the Lord has us to do our part nonetheless. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Lord our God, we confess the sin of our nation in despising the Sabbath day, in desecrating that which should be kept holy to the Lord. We are saddened as we see the change even in this time. And from just even a few years ago to now, there have been quick changes in the way the Sabbath day is honoured. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us, pardon us. We pray that you would show mercy to us. We pray that your law would restrain evil, and that those who seek to make changes in the way the Sabbath day is honoured, that they would be thwarted, that they would find no success. We pray especially about the sports centre, that it would not be allowed to be opened on the Sabbath day. Lord, that they would not cave to this pressure from those outside the faith. Lord, that they would not do what is abominable on the Sabbath day. Gracious God, would you not have mercy on us? But we pray for ourselves. It's easy to look at others and see that we keep the day better than they do. But we ask that you would help us to profit from the day ourselves. That each Lord's Day we would think upon the glorious things you have done for us. That we'd think forward towards heaven and glory in that. We pray, Lord God, that it would be the market day for our soul, and that we would grow in grace. We pray that you would give us a victory as we keep the Sabbath day, that we would delight in the Lord, and that we would ride over those high hills, and that we would be spiritually nourished. Lord God, you are truly good to us. So bless us, for we pray in Christ's sake. Amen. In closing, we'll sing from Psalm 92. We sang from the first part of this at our Thanksgiving service, and I did mention to you it is a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. But we're going to sing now from the last part, from verse 9 to the end of the psalm. Here there's a contrast between the enemies of God and the people of God. And I think what we see here is the difference between enemies who will lose, but between the righteous who will grow in their faith. It's not merely that we win or that we remain strong. It's that we actually flourish. And I think that's connected to the whole idea of the Sabbath day. As we have this song for the Sabbath day, as we think about what the Sabbath day contains, we're thinking about how we will flourish as we keep that day holy. Particularly verse 12. But like the palm tree, flourishing shall be the righteous one. He shall like to the cedar grow that is in Lebanon. Those that within the house of God are planted by his grace. You see, you're in the house of God on the Sabbath day, aren't you? And you're planted there. They shall grow up and flourish all in our God's holy place. Verse 14 shows us, even when we're old, when others are fading, yet the righteous bring forth fruit. They're fresh. And surely that's connected as well to the principle of keeping the Sabbath day, as they flourish through God's appointed means. And what's the purpose of the day? Well, verse 15, to show that upright is the Lord. He is a rock to me. And he from all unrighteousness is altogether free. You see, that's proclaimed every Sabbath day. So we'll sing just now from verse 9 to the end of the psalm in praise to God. Let's stand and sing.
Oh, God, I am.
love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Amen.